It's time for the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales. We'll hear from your host, Aaron Quillen, after this.
New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines from Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville put more premium grain in the bin and save you money while doing it. Compared to competitive brand combines, CR Twin Rotor Combines lose significantly less grain. Independent third-party test results prove it. And CR Twin Rotor Combines use less fuel and harvest faster to save you real money. Finish your season sooner with more grain safely in the storage bin. See Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville about New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines. They give you performance that pays.
Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. Today, joining us, we have a local businessman, a world champion of the world, and outdoor enthusiast, Mr. Jonathan Prain. Thanks
for
being here.
Thanks for having me, Aaron. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So it's important to make sure that people understand that you're a world champion of the world.
I didn't know that.
If you say world twice, they know you're serious.
Oh, okay. And I understand now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Prain, world champion of the world, placed first in the WJBM Big Buck Contest. Congratulations, man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that thing was a tater.
I appreciate it. It was all luck, and the good Lord must have been looking out for me that day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So tell me a little about that hunt.
Okay. It was so I guess I should probably start about October 31st, Halloween. As most guys know, we had a good cold front, been warm for a while, had a good cold front. Everybody's getting excited about bucks getting on their feet. Right. Also getting excited about it being duck season, a lot of things going on. As we would have thought, bucks were doing a little more moving with that cold front. And so I hunted that evening and identified, I'd known, obviously a lot about this buck. I've been hunting him for a little while and knew about where he was, and the morning of November 1st, I kind of put him to bed, if you will.
Yeah.
Caught a glimpse of him, and got some camera data of him chasing a couple does, and figured he was probably going to bed somewhere in that area. So I decided to make a little bit of a move with the wind change and what we were working with, and figured that with what he normally does in that scenario, he'd come my way. And right before the last light there, I was able to sling an arrow at him. So
all right,
yep.
So
yep.
You basically put him to bed.
Yep.
Found where he was kind of staying the night before, which is super helpful because he's in the area.
Yep.
And then you said he was interacting with some does, or was
he was,
a food source?
Yeah. So through so that morning had saw him way off, hanging his lower jaw, kind of doing a little sniffing around.
Yeah.
As you would expect, 1st of November.
Mm-hmm.
Morale is obviously super high because it's 1st of November. How can it not be? And so that morning I saw him off in the distance, and then got a picture of him running a doe on my cell camera, which everybody knows how helpful and just amazing what they've done for hunting, whitetail hunting in general. And so kind of knew the time of day that last picture was taken was about 9:30 figured that it would probably, he wasn't too far from hunkering down for the day and laying low. I didn't notice that I had any does in heat yet on the farm. So he was just out, kind of looking for an early check. And, so I kind of, figured I'm where I decided to move a set, It was an east wind that day.
Yeah.
And in that particular area, I didn't have a set for an east. And I hunted basically the, to kind of paint a little picture, I guess I hunted the head of a really big draw where it all kind of comes together at the very top. And I, not that I'm not, first disclaimer, I am not a whitetail expert by any means. I feel that there's no silver bullet and everybody's got to spend time in the woods and figure out what works for them and how to be successful. And that's, you know, in my eyes, there's no silver bullet, right?
100%.
So, you just gotta go and see what works for you. But, so I was I was at the head of this draw and behind me was an extremely deep ravine, knowing I had the wind hitting me in the face and the sun starting to go down. I've started learning a lot more about how these thermals work.
It's yeah.
really big in the West, really big with big game hunting in the West and catching up with deer and elk out there, a lot of guys. So I've over the last few years, I've really dove into reading about how thermals work.
Yeah.
And knowing that it was an evening hunt, I was at the top of a ravine, wind hit me in the face, and the deepest part of the ravine behind me, that those thermals would suck my scent, you know, right down into that draw. And I'd never hunted this spot before. I've always actually stayed out of it. But
yeah.
it was just kind of one of those, you know, perfect scenarios, I thought, that could work. And so I set the stand that afternoon. I went in early. I usually... you know, I was in the stand, I think, by noon. I started setting sticks and getting ready by 11. And I, trying to think, I mean, I sat there and never saw a deer, all day, right? And everything was looking perfect. I'm scent checking, everything's going in the draw. Everything's picture perfect like it should. And, like they do, you know, those smart old bucks, you know, take their time. There's no rush on his part. And I kept telling myself, I'm not here to see a lot of deer. I just need to see the right deer, right?
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I look up and off my left side, he was coming right down the road. I've got a gravel road that runs through the portion of this farm that my family owns.
Yeah.
And... He played it like a book. I mean, he came right down it. Wind was perfect. He hit a scrape at the bottom of the road. And as soon as he got done making that scrape, I drew while he was making that. And he took a step and plugged him at 15 yards.
Ah.
It was picture perfect, man. It was awesome. Well, I say the setup was picture perfect. I didn't make the best shot, which it does happen. I didn't double lung him or shoot him in the heart, and he did only go 50 yards and die. But you know, it is what it is. So
my next question was going to be, did you get nervous?
Oh man, yeah, yeah. So yeah, no doubt. Extremely. Nothing. It really gets your blood boiling, you know. If you've done it, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And and it doesn't always matter how big they are, you know. It just gets you going, right? And what gets you out there? Knowing this deer as well as I did, and he had been this size, for 3 years, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, for the last 3 years, he's been the same size, right? In that 170, low 170. You know, frame. And I named him MIA because he had there was no pattern to him. He'd be here one time, he'd be here one time. He was always in a different spot. And so where I ended up shooting him, it's not like I was getting pictures of him there for 4 or 5 days straight. I mean, it was he's here. I think I can cut him off here. We're just going to go with it. And it worked. But so that's how he got his name, is he's just all over the place. And then I've got neighbors that are sending me videos from pretty far away. So MIA stands up. He just missing in action. That guy just went wherever he really wanted.
That's
so
awesome.
He had a pretty big range, I guess I should say. So.
It's to kill a big deer like that is just such a great feeling. Mm-hmm. But then to have a history with it for three seasons.
Yeah.
Did that add to it for you?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, this deer has eluded me for three seasons. He's been, had been on the top of my list for three seasons and chase him down. I've had a ton of encounters with him, obviously, found some of his sheds and, just never could, you know, close that distance to sling an arrow at him, and had him in close and still hadn't been able to make it happen. So to connect all the dots was obviously a, you know, it was great. It was a great
That's
feeling.
Cool. And so you, thinking he was 7 years old, how old would you say you think?
You know, I don't know. Matt Cheek and I, which, you know, thanks to Matt for allowing, you know, for sponsoring the contest and doing what he did. It was a super thing of him. And my wife is extremely excited about me not actually having to pay for a mount for once. So, that's exciting. But, Matt and I talked about it. I always kind of had thought that he was probably 6 or 7 was kind of what I figured. So we had talked about sending his teeth in. I actually haven't talked to Matt about it. I don't know if we did that or not. I don't know. But he was, you know, for sure 6 years old, you know, if not 7. And he could have been a little older than that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
we killed one this year that was legitimately 8 mm-hmm. or 9 years old, 8 and a half, 9 and a half years
right.
old.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to get the teeth back on that. As proud as I was that we finally killed this deer, because he was so in 2023 season would have been his peak.
Mm-hmm.
2022 he would have been at his peak.
Mm-hmm.
2023 he was a little bit smaller.
Right.
2024 he was even smaller than that.
Okay.
And wouldn't you know, we get this buck and he's got one of his eyes poked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if the fact that he lost part of his vision is why we're
how he
able
maybe
to,
was yeah. finally able to catch up to yeah. you. Yeah. Isn't that funny how that happens? I've had that happen to me on a buck before, and somebody said, well, shoot, the only reason you shot that deer is because he was blind on that eye. Which, right. hey, whatever. We'll whatever works. It. That's right. I'm not, beggars can't be choosers.
Absolutely.
So.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Let's take a break and hear from our great sponsors that WJBM Outdoor Show.
Sounds great.
All right.
See more and do more in a new 300 series compact track loader from New Holland. Its industry-leading 360-degree visibility is truly something to see at Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. With its reverse camera and 8-inch multifunction LCD display, Super Boom lift technology, rock-solid stability, and redesigned controls, you'll work with greater speed, safety, and precision. Maximum productivity starts with a clear view. Stop by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville today and see how a new 300 series compact track loader helps you do more. Jonathan Prane with Tarrant and Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company is a full-time land broker who can help you maximize your hard-earned dollars. Call Jonathan for a free assessment and to assist you in selling or finding your income-producing farm, dream hunting spot, rural home, or investment property. Jonathan Prane with Tarrant and Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company. Call 618-225-0568. 618-225-0568.
Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today we're coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. We were just talking to world champion of the world, Jonathan Prane, about his world championship numero uno, first place in the WJBM Big Buck Contest.
I can't get used to that world champion of the world. I've never been referred to anything like that before, but I appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are certain times where the world champion of the world is relevant, you know. You could actually win a world championship. You know, I tell Cole Foyles he's a world champion of the world.
There
he's,
you go.
He's won world all around, That's you know, right. goose calling yeah, contest.
That's right.
But then, you know, I'm a world champion of the world. We have a catfishing tournament every you know, late summer when the catfishing is not nearly as good as it should be.
Right, yep.
It's just a private gig over on the Mississippi River. And, okay. You know, it's a world championship world champion. Of the world.
That's right. My dad would probably joke that I'm the world champion of my own world.
Well, whatever it is, it's still a world. Well, that's cool. All right. So, Jonathan, you are way into hunting bucks.
Yes, sir.
You know, just in a brief time that I've known you, you take it pretty seriously.
I just enjoy it. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you do a lot of prep going into the season.
Right.
Now, some of the prep that you do, did any of it come into play here on this deer?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, he ended up in our lap, right?
Yeah.
Got the job done. I would say some of the things that I was worried about, especially with a buck that has, you know, a wider range like this one did. Is what I could do to, you know, maybe tighten that up a little bit, or make him want to spend a little more time, here. And, you know, it's like I said earlier, it's one of those things that I don't think there's any one silver bullet. I think there's a lot of people out there in the industry today that are producing unreal content that can help a guy like myself, just an average Joe who wants to kill big deer or wants to do anything for that matter. That I can take all that advice off of YouTube and social media from, you know, growing up, we didn't have that.
Right.
You know, we just had to be in the woods and we were just taking guesses.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can take accumulate everything everybody's put together and see what works for me and my farm and, you know, on our family farm, what could work. And some of those things that I utilized with this past season was, I'm a firm believer, obviously, in food. I like diversity in food.
Yeah.
From brassicas to clover to alfalfa, anything that I can utilize as a green. I use a lot of cereal rye, cereal grains, oats, rye, triticale. Basic stuff that everybody uses, but I like to spread them out and make them very, you know, this isn't reinventing the wheel. This is just where it worked on the farm that I hunt, was spread them out that they are close enough that I need to get to them without disturbing anybody in a bedroom, but also close enough to that bedroom that a buck can get there safely and easily without getting disturbed from anything else around. And enhancing buck bedding, in my opinion, is pretty prevalent there from TSI work, timber stand improvement.
Okay.
You know, opening some sunlight with I'm not going to be that guy that's going to cut oaks and walnuts down because I don't believe in it.
I'm with you.
I don't believe in it. I'm a steward guy of the land, and I think I also look at the long term, you know, growth and investment for my kids having those important trees there.
Mm-hmm.
But any type of tree or invasive that I can see getting rid of to enhance that area. To create that thicker bedding that those bucks want to be in. Those are the kinds of things I focus on.
Yeah.
Right. So identifying those trees and marking them and going in and either hinge cutting them or clear cutting, getting more sunlight to the ground, to thicken up that, you know, that ridge or whatever it is, certain spots where these bucks can travel and tuck away. They want to be not bothered. Everybody knows that, right?
Right.
And so those are things that I think helped, you know, maybe keep him a little tighter in a little tighter area than usual.
Okay. So essentially enhancing the bedding area.
Yep.
And making sure that the bucks or the mature bucks or the dominant bucks that kind of, this is my domain.
Yep.
I'm the monarch. I'm the guy.
Right. Yep.
And so he's got his choice
yep.
of the lay of the land
yep.
and saying, hey, we want him bedding here. We're
right,
gonna
yeah.
Bring sunlight to the soil, get some undergrowth going.
That's right. Get some browse going, and they eat on those things, right? You don't realize, you know, when you hinge a tree, it can still, and I know that, you know, again, this is very common knowledge, but you hinge a tree and it still can pull nutrients, right, from mm-hmm. its root base because you haven't completely cut it off and lay it over. It almost it starts a whole new growth program for that mm-hmm. tree, essentially, which is out of where you cut it along the entire base of the tree. It tries to start sprouting wherever it can to get that sunlight, and deer eat that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've found that's extremely effective. They're browsers. We all know that. You're not mm-hmm. just going to put one food source out there and that's what they're going to go to. They're opportunistic, right? So they're going to eat whatever they can. So that's something that I found that worked for me, that helped me. And it's not just big bucks; it's all deer, right? I mean, if you're creating more comfortable habitat for those animals, they feel more comfortable and they're going to stay around. You know, you got to have. You got to have does to have the bucks as well, right? So mm-hmm. that's what they're looking for. So I don't know. Like I said, that's what the stuff that I've started practicing over the last few years that has made a difference for me: food, water, bedding.
Yeah.
So kind of same things we all need, right?
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. So. The thing that I found really interesting is I grew up on a horse farm about 15 minutes north of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay.
And Michigan has a ton of hunters and not a whole lot of habitat.
I've always heard that.
Yeah. So when you're entering the woods, whether you're scouting, and you look, there's an absolute browse line. Mm-hmm. I mean, plain as day, you can see it. Mm-hmm. I guess if you look at a cattle pasture,
right,
it'll be similar because the cattle will eat the leaves,
right,
and then there's a 5 or 6 foot, you know, from 5 or 6 feet to the ground,
right,
there's no vegetation.
What they can reach.
Cows right. have eaten it. Yeah. What's right. low-hanging leaves or fruit,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, fruit, if you will. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yep.
So what I didn't realize and have come to realize over the past, you know, like you're saying, 4 or 5 years is these resources become more available and digestible is even here where we have possibly the greatest habitat in the world for white-tailed deer.
And genetics to back it up.
And there's still a browse line.
Yeah.
When you walk through the woods and you see that little just stem coming up out right. of the dirt.
Right.
And it's, you know, broken up. That's not yep. broken off. Picked that's off. Yep. Nipped off.
That's right. Yeah.
They're still browsing
yep.
on just natural, you know, forbs or,
yep.
you know, whatever it is. And I always thought, hey, we're in Illinois where there's tons of ag.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the bean fields, in the corn fields
yeah.
all night eating no. all day. That's not necessarily their primary.
It's not one thing.
Right.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
sitting in that bedding area eating, you know, the natural forbs. They're yeah. they're eating the leaves.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I used to joke with, one of our landowners, they cut a lot of trees for firewood, a lot mm-hmm. of oaks. But when they would leave those limbs, those oak limbs, mm-hmm. boom,
yeah.
deer would be right on them
yeah.
eating those leaves that weren't available to them before because right. they were up in a tree.
Yeah.
And so now you're talking about the hinge cut
yep.
and then kind of putting that food on a level that's reachable to the deer.
Yep.
Then enhancing that bedding.
It's kind
area.
Of that new, you know, when you got a hard tree, right? And you're producing a new, fresh, soft and palatable, you know, food source there. It's something that they really take advantage of. But I mean, you're talking about something that eats everything from honeysuckle leaves to, you know, you'll see them browse on absolutely anything and everything, acorns. And I always like it when I shoot a deer, as nasty as it is, I always like to look at their stomach and see, you know, what they have been eating. This one in particular, you know, everything, acorns, soybeans, corn, everything that was in that world that he lived in
mm-hmm.
was in there.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of everything. So,
yeah, I'm with you 100%. Well, that being said, that's time for the day. I want to give a big shout out to Matt Cheek.
Yes, sir.
Westwood's Taxidermy.
Does excellent work.
Yeah, does excellent. Great work. Yeah. Thank you so much for your sponsorship on the WJBM Big Buck Contest. Big congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
World champion of the world designation going on your business card.
Yeah, I'll have to tell my dad that. That'll be funny.
Yeah, but so. Thanks for being a part of the contest and
yes, sir.
Bringing it home.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for having
you.
Me.
Yeah.
Hunting and fishing, loving every day. I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes. Let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day. That's the prayer this country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting and fishing and loving every day. Black coffee in the morning. Dark whiskey in the evening. I get red dirt rich and forever pay. Hunting and fishing and loving every day.
New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines from Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville put more premium grain in the bin and save you money while doing it. Compared to competitive brand combines, CR Twin Rotor Combines lose significantly less grain. Independent third-party test results prove it. And CR Twin Rotor Combines use less fuel and harvest faster to save you real money. Finish your season sooner with more grain safely in the storage bin. See Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville about New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines. They give you performance that pays.